Our text is the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be divisions among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or are you to despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world." Here ends our text. A 19th century Lutheran observed that this whole mystery of evil, of the powers and sorrows which overwhelm our race, of the past, the present, and future of sin, all of it revolves around a single natural eating forbidden by God. He went on to say that we learn from the fall what fearful consequences can be associated with the simple act of eating. Tonight, Jesus shows that another simple act of eating can undo the judgment, the evil, and the sorrow that overwhelms us. So, eat your heart out. That expression can mean something good. Eat your heart out, pine for, long for, desire greatly something. When Alexander Hamilton lay dying for 37 hours, having been shot in a duel by an Aaron Burr, he longed for the sacrament. His Dutch Reformed clergymen refused because their church didn't allow private communion. They comforted him, or tried to, by telling him it was only a symbol. He said he knew it was only a symbol, but he wanted it anyway. The Orthodox, who have as strict of a closed communion policy as we do, use antidoron to satisfy, in some way, people's craving for the sacrament. During the consecration, large bowls of pieces of bread are held over the body and blood of Christ. After the liturgy, people can eat that antidoron. And though it's not blessed bread, though it's not holy bread, though it's not the Lord's body, but it's just common food, people long to eat it anyway. What about us? Do we eat our heart out for the real thing? Our large catechism says this: if you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. Hamilton saw that on his deathbed, and the uncommunicated at the Orthodox Church do too. And so they eat their heart out for even just a symbol of the Lord's body and blood. We have the real deal right here. Jesus' words are quite clear. "This is my body given for you." The same body that only hours from now you will see arrested, mistreated, lashed, and crucified is here now for you. Not to condemn you, not to shame you, but to forgive you. The same blood, only hours from now, you will see drip from bleeding lips, run down a furrowed brow, well up from a lacerated back, and flow from a wounded side, is here for you. For what reason? To make you feel bad? To make you try harder? To be good boys and girls? No, Jesus says it's for the remission of sins. His body is here for bodies withered away by sinfulness, and His blood is here for souls shriveled up from thirst. The same grace, the same forgiveness, the same mercy and peace that people eat their heart out for in this sacrament, well, that's also in baptism, and it's also in absolution. So why did the dying Hamilton and the uncommuned at the Orthodox eat their hearts out for even a symbol of the sacrament? Because the Lord's Supper is the only means of grace that engages all five senses. It blows the sinner away. It overwhelms, it inundates him, preaching to his nose, his ears, his eyes, his tongues, his hand, that he is forgiven. When the Jews celebrate Passover, they set aside a cup of wine for Elijah, who is the forerunner of their Messiah. And they even open the door just to make sure he knows he's welcome. Isn't that neat? You see how it preaches physically to them. Well, we don't have a cup of wine to remind us of Jesus. We have a cup of wine that is Jesus' blood. We don't leave a door open to let Jesus know he's welcome. We welcome the actual Jesus singing, "Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord." So, eat your heart out. Long, pine, deeply desire to communicate with the body and blood of your Lord in this space at this time. Of course, eat your heart out can mean to pine away in an unfulfilled way, and that's part of our communion practice too. It's called closed communion. St. Paul said, based on the institution of the Lord's Supper Jesus had handed down to him, that there have to be divisions among you. What we have to be very crystal clear about is that closed communion is not about worthy communion. It's not about who should go to communion, but about who should go to communion together. The Catholics, Baptists, ELCA Lutherans, or even other Missouri Synod Lutherans I don't commune aren't unworthy communicants to me. I'm not making that determination when I talk to them. I am asking if they are of the same faith we are, because it would be contrary to communion, a meal showing shared faith, for people who are of different faiths to commune at the same altar. The Jesus the Catholics commune with says, "Pray to my mother." The Jesus the Baptists commune with says, "Don't baptize your baby." The Jesus the ELCA Lutherans commune with says homosexuality is not a sin to be repented of. The Jesus Open Communion LCMS churches commune with says all these things don't matter. Contradictory faiths can and should commune at the same altar. But communion is not a parish fair where Christians and even non-Christians can get together in a spirit of goodwill and friendship. You know who compared communion to a parish fair? Zwingli did. Zwingli, Luther's rival theologian who denied the real presence, said communion was like a parish fair. Luther sharply denounced that idea. From Paul's account of the Corinthian communion practice, they too had a parish fair idea. There were lots of eating and drinking, aside from the eating and drinking of the Lord's body and blood to proclaim his death until he came, and eating and drinking far different than the meal the Lord instituted. To his supper, the Lord Jesus invited only those he had instructed for 3 years, Jesus didn't even commune his own mother at the first Lord's Supper. And no, it cannot be determined from Scripture if Jesus did or did not commune Judas. Even if he did, Judas hadn't publicly broken fellowship with Jesus as yet. Eat your heart out. It can mean long for something in a good way, and it can mean to long for something that you cannot have yet. The practice of closed communion has both kinds of longing, even for us who commune here. We long for the Lord's body and blood, and we long for the time when the people of God, all the people of God, will eat and drink at the same altar, as will happen in the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. In the meantime, I tell you, whom I do commune, eat your heart out, in the sense, eat your fill. But first I say, examine yourself. That's what Paul says. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Some trumpet that verse as proving it's up to the individual to decide if he communes. The pastor has nothing to say about it. Wrong. First, Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 4 that pastors are stewards of Holy Communion. A steward determines what his fellow slaves get. Second, Paul is writing to his members. It's about his members' communing, not whether members of another church should commune. Paul isn't addressing here whether Methodists visiting Lutherans or Lutherans who disagree on what the Bible teaches should commune together. So I say to my members, examine yourself before coming to this altar. This is more important than ever now. Although our Lutheran confessions say, and the early Missouri Synod did require, that no one came to communion without first being examined and absolved by the pastor, that practice has went by the wayside well over 50 years ago. Now, members have much more freedom. But with more freedom comes much more responsibility. In the Army Ranger School, you do something called Australian rappelling. This is where you go over a cliff, face first, holding onto a rope with one hand, with your weapon in the other. We were practicing this on a cliff 500 feet above the ground. Each time you got back to the top, you hooked yourself up to the rope and you showed the ranger instructor. If you had what was known as a fatal hookup, the rope would have nothing to slow it down and you would fall right down the cliff. After about the fourth trip, I showed the instructor and he said nothing. I asked him, "Am I good to go?" He said in almost a kind voice, he said, "Son, who do you think is going to check you in combat?" I glanced over at another ranger hooked up and noticed that his hookup was different than mine. One of us was wrong. I decided that in training they wouldn't let us fall down the cliff, so I stepped off. My hookup was right. They stopped the other soldier. But because the instructor had seen that I had noticed the other soldier's hookup and didn't say anything, he assumed I knew the other had a fatal hookup, but said nothing. So after much cursing and insulting of me, the instructor made me do 25 push-ups upside down on the face of that cliff. That was 35 years ago. I no longer know what a fatal hookup looks like. But I do know what worthy and unworthy communion look like. I do know who should, what should, and what shouldn't keep a person from communing. While our synod has said it no longer wants pastors checking members approaching communion, which can be a cliff where people can get injured and even die, while our synod has said it no longer wants our pastors checking that, you should know you still have one. If in examining yourself you cannot determine whether you have a fatal hookup or not, take no chances. ask your pastor. Communion is too powerful of a medicine to take chances with. That's why it's to be distributed with such care. You can't go around handing out heart medicine as if it were candy. You can't distribute heart medicine with fun and frivolity at a parish fair. If you did, you would surely make some people weak, some people sick, and you'd probably kill a few of them. But if communion is only a sign, if it's only a symbol, well, then it's nothing more than a placebo, nothing more than a sugar pill, nothing more than a candy. Then it would not matter who ate it to their fill, who got it as easily as you would candy at a parish fair. This isn't a placebo. This isn't candy. This isn't parish fair food. But it is food. Food and drink to save bodies and souls for eternity. So having examined yourself, eat your heart out. Eat your fill. This is the body and blood of your God and Savior. There is no sin that you've committed with your body that Jesus didn't pay for with His body. There's no sin that makes blood rush to your face with shame that Jesus didn't forgive with the blood that He distributes at this altar. There's no sin that you cannot forget that this body and blood can't forgive. There's no guilt too deep or memory so painful that this body and blood can't reach to forgive or relieve it. So eat and drink Jesus' body and blood for forgiveness and relief. And know that it's Jesus' heart's desire that you do. Amen.